Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. The title of this message, in one word, maturation. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have given the title of maturation to this message. Maturation means the process of maturing, the process of coming towards full development. Although the word maturation does not occur in God's Word, it does describe a biblical concept. The concept of spiritual growth, the maturing and coming towards full spiritual development as a Christian. Maturation, as I am using the term, has reference to spiritual growth. Progress in the Christian life. Progressive maturing in spiritual matters. Or as Peter calls it in our text, growing in grace. God's Word commands maturation in Christians. It commands us to grow spiritually, to progress toward spiritual maturity. Peter says in our text that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many Christians, however, are stunted and dwarfed in spiritual things. They remain year after year at roughly the same level of spirituality. Too often today's Christians don't even know what spiritual growth is, much less that they are responsible to grow spiritually. Should we be satisfied to believe in Christ and yet remain babes in Christ, not making progress in spiritual things? Not according to God's holy word in our text and elsewhere. I have been greatly aided in preparing this message by Arthur W. Pink's great book, Spiritual Growth. And I highly recommend this book to those interested in learning more about the subject of spiritual growth. First of all, in this message, let us consider what spiritual growth is not. There are a lot of erroneous ideas of what spiritual growth is. So it is necessary to think for a while here about what this maturation, this spiritual growth, does not mean. First of all, spiritual growth does not gain for us a title to heaven. The merits of Christ is the only title that we can ever need for heaven. His substitutionary fulfilling of the law and taking its penalty for His people on the cross gained title to heaven for all His people. There is nothing a sinner can do to gain a title to heaven. And one who is a Christian already has such a title. Second, the need for spiritual growth does not mean that the new birth is incomplete and that something must be added to it. When a child is born, think about it. When that little precious baby of yours was born, he had every part of his body that he was ever going to have. Nothing will ever be added to that body, with the exception of maybe the waistline or something. Nothing will ever be added to that body. No part. You know what I'm talking about. When the Holy Spirit regenerates a person, that person also receives everything he's going to get as a Christian. You know, that flies right in the face of most denominational teachings today. But it's true. When the Holy Spirit makes one a new creature, He gives that person everything he's ever going to get as a Christian. When a child of God receives the new birth, nothing can ever be added. But just as a child, the Christian will grow and develop more fully in spiritual things. Look at Hebrews 5:14, which speaks about spiritual growth. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, or mature Christians, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The babe in Christ is as truly and completely a child of God as the most mature Christian is. Thirdly, spiritual growth does not mean gaining favor with God. You know, it's not making brownie points with God. It's not gaining favor with God. Growing spiritually could not gain favor with God because God is the one who produces spiritual growth in us. He produces all of our works in us. Look at Isaiah 26 and verse 12. Isaiah 26 and verse 12. God is the one who produces all of our works in us. Lord, Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for Thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Fourthly, growing more generous in giving is not necessarily spiritual growth. Say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. For many years, I was a member of a denomination that taught that a church's spirituality is measured by the amount that it gives to missions through the cooperative program. Even though those churches raised millions for missions, vital godliness was often absent from the members. Never have the churches had more money than they have today. Yet never have the churches been so worldly and so spiritually shallow and devoid of God's blessings as they are today. One's spirituality cannot be judged by his generosity in giving. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 13:3. This is that great love chapter in the Bible, and it tells us in verse 3 that a person's spirituality cannot be judged or measured by his generosity in giving. Now, it is true that when a person is growing spiritually, he will want to be more generous. But that's not the same thing as spiritual growth. It's possible to be generous without growing spiritually. 1 Corinthians 13:3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing. Fifth, spiritual growth is not measured by the number of years a person has been a Christian. Some people believe that Christians with white hair are more spiritual than younger believers. They're more spiritual. They're more likely to be spiritually mature than younger believers. This is not necessarily so. Some who have been Christians for many years have shown very little spiritual growth. And some who are relatively young Christians have grown by leaps and bounds to an astonishing level of spiritual maturity. Charles Spurgeon was 16 years old when he first stood to preach. People were overwhelmed by his spiritual maturity. Six, spiritual growth is not an increasing amount of Bible knowledge. And this is really important to some of the things we're going to say later. It is not an increasing amount of spiritual knowledge or Bible knowledge, important as increasing knowledge of God's Word is. That's still not what spiritual growth is. There is a difference between knowledge of spiritual things and spiritual knowledge. Let me run that by you again. I know it's after eating lunch, it's kind of hard to focus. I see a lot of glazed looks today. There's a difference between knowledge of spiritual things and spiritual knowledge. Unregenerate persons can have knowledge of spiritual things, but they cannot have spiritual knowledge. A person can learn the Bible enough to get a PhD degree in theology and yet not have spiritual knowledge. My friends, that's what's happening in a lot of our seminaries today. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:3. You may still be there from the last scripture we looked at there. This time look at verse 2. 1 Corinthians 13:2. "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing." It's possible to have Bible knowledge, great Bible knowledge, and still not grow spiritually. Not even be saved as far as that goes. If our Bible knowledge is not conforming us to Christ, both inwardly and outwardly, we are not growing spiritually. Seventh, spiritual growth is not spending an increasing amount of time in prayer. The number of hours you spend in prayer doesn't measure your spiritual development. It's not a mark of spiritual growth. The Pharisees in our Lord's day were noted for their long prayers. As a matter of fact, remember the Lord said, "Woe unto those who make long prayers." They were not growing spiritually. Mohammedans today, that's the old-fashioned word for Islamic person. Mohammedans pray seven times a day toward Mecca, but they don't know Jesus Christ. I once knew of a preacher in New Orleans, and I heard him give his testimony how God saved a Baptist preacher. That title was kind of shocking. He said he was going to speak on how God saved the Baptist preacher. He said in that testimony that he felt the need to pray more and more before he was saved. He thought he was saved. He prayed, he got up to where he prayed 7 hours every day. But he testified that all the time he was lost. Someone else has said that in this matter, we cannot measure our spirituality by the clock. Finally, spiritual growth does not mean spending more time in Christian service. A few years ago, I participated in a conference in which one of the preachers boasted about how much time he spends every day knocking on doors with the gospel. I mean, he was just flat out bragging about it in his message. And in saying this, he implied very strongly that in doing so, he had reached a high level of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is none of these things that we've talked about here. None of these eight things we've listed. It's something quite different. All right, we've looked at what spiritual growth does not mean. Let us look next at what spiritual growth is. What does spiritual growth mean? What happens when a person grows spiritually? What are some things involved in this maturation process? There are a number of very important things involved in spiritual growth. We don't have time to go into all of them today. I'm just going to briefly mention five of them here. Five things that are involved in spiritual growth. What spiritual growth is. First of all, the first thing involved in the meaning of spiritual growth is an increase in spiritual knowledge. Now notice I didn't say Bible knowledge, I said spiritual knowledge. An increase in spiritual knowledge. Not that there can be a difference in those two, but there is a shade of difference there. A person who is growing spiritually experiences an increase in spiritual knowledge. Knowledge is so important to the Christian life. Matter of fact, 1 and 2 Peter, one time I did a study of those and I went through and underlined with a red pencil the word knowledge and know all the way through there, and the books are just full of that. Knowledge is extremely important to the Christian life. The Christian life grows based upon knowledge. Look at our text again, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nothing happens in a Christian that is not based upon knowledge. I should say, nothing spiritually legitimate happens to a Christian that is not based upon knowledge. Apply that to any area of life, all of life. We cannot drive a car without some knowledge of how to do it. Every once in a while you hear about one of these six-year-old kids that gets out and drives the car, but he always wrecks it. He doesn't have any knowledge of the car. We can't work on a computer without some knowledge of computers. I'm intimidated by some of these men in our church and their knowledge of computers. You can't work on a computer if you don't have some knowledge of computers. You can't play a violin, can't play a piano or an organ without a basic knowledge of these instruments. One cannot worship God acceptably without some knowledge of God. You have to know who God is in order to worship Him and worship Him properly. Turn with me to Psalm 9 and verse 10. Psalm 9 and verse 10. This is talking about one must know God in order to worship Him acceptably. And they that know thy name, and his name is his character, his person, will put their trust in thee. Have to know God to believe in Him, to trust in Him. The Christian life begins with knowledge. Look at John 17:3 here. This is the Lord Jesus praying to His Father in behalf of His people. And here's what He says in John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. If you're going to have eternal life, you have to have knowledge of God and of Christ. Now look at Colossians 3:10. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul is talking to these Christians at Colossae about their regeneration. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So to grow in grace is to grow in the knowledge of Christ and of God in Christ. Christ is the central object of all spiritual knowledge. Again, our text says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must increase our knowledge of the Scriptures. That's true. But this knowledge is something far more than filling the head with facts and correct opinions about God and about Christ and about God's Word. It is a spiritual knowledge. What does that mean? It is a supernatural, saving knowledge. It is an experiential knowledge of God. This knowledge is a transforming knowledge. It is a knowledge that changes the person and makes him more conformed to the image of Christ. A transforming knowledge. Very important. Spiritual knowledge consists in such spiritual understanding of God that it causes us to believe in Him, to trust in Him, and to love Him. And if your knowledge doesn't cause you to do those things, it's not a spiritual knowledge. This knowledge also produces obedience to God's command. Turn to 1 John 2:3-4. 1 John 2:3-4. This spiritual knowledge produces obedience to God's commands. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The lives of those with this spiritual knowledge are being regulated by this knowledge. This is a knowledge that produces holiness in the heart and life of the one who has it. This knowledge is given to the believer by the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. What God has revealed in His Word must be applied by the Holy Spirit if it is to produce growth in us. It was this spiritual knowledge that Paul prayed for God to give an increase of to the members of the church at Philippi. Listen to Philippians 1:9. "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." And this was the same knowledge that Paul prayed for an increase of to the members of the church at Colossae. Listen to Colossians 1:10. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Secondly, spiritual growth involves a growing enjoyment of spiritual things. A growing enjoyment of spiritual things. The natural or unregenerate man cannot see the beauty of, much less can he enjoy, spiritual things. Why? Because he's spiritually dead. He's blind spiritually. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. I probably refer to this verse as much as almost any verse in the messages that I have preached over the years. 1 Corinthians 2:14. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." A spiritually dead man can't discern or understand spiritual things. The man who is growing spiritually finds real enjoyment in spiritual things. God and Christ and the things of Christ in God's Word are the things he enjoys, and this enjoyment grows and increases. David describes the attitude of such a person in Psalm 119. Let's look at that. There are two verses I want us to look at in Psalm 119 that describe the attitude of the person who is growing in enjoyment of spiritual things. Psalm 119, 97, first of all. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then look at verse 47 in that same 119th Psalm. Verse 47. "And I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved." That's the testimony of a man who loves spiritual things. Then turn to Psalm 19, the 19th Psalm. This time verse 10 of that chapter, Psalm 19, expresses the increasing enjoyment of God's Word and spiritual things. Psalm 19, verse 10. "More to be desired are they," that is the Word of God, "than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." This enjoyment is based on and flows out of one's spiritual knowledge. The more of God's perfections a person comes to see spiritually, the more he will cry out with Exodus 15:11, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" The person who is increasing in his enjoyment of spiritual things like this will soon come to say with Paul in Philippians 3:7 and 8, "But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord." Thirdly, spiritual growth involves an increasing love for God. As a Christian grows, he comes to love God, not just for what God has done for him, but mainly for who God is. The man who is growing spiritually has a growing love for God's goodness, God's mercy, God's providence, God's holiness, God's justice, God's sovereignty. And just, we could go on and on and on with His attributes and His works. He has a growing love for God's people. He has a growing love for God's worship and God's Word and everything else about God. Fourthly, spiritual growth involves an increase in one's faith. An increase in faith. The Christian life is basically a life of faith. That means trusting in Christ for every need, relying on Him for these needs. Hebrews 10:38 says that we not only begin in faith, we must continue in faith and live by faith. Now, the just shall live by faith, says Hebrews 10:38. Turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2:20 speaks of the same thing. Living by faith. The Christian life is a life of faith. Galatians 2:20. Paul says here, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Faith looks to Christ for wisdom to understand what God has revealed in His Word concerning Himself, ourselves, salvation, and our duties. Faith lays hold of God's promises and claims them for itself. Faith relies upon Christ for strength to obey God's requirements acceptably. An increasing faith is seen when we have a steadier confidence in God, when we make more use of His promises, when we rest on His, thus saith the Lord, and not on what others may think. And finally, spiritual growth involves increasing personal holiness. Or we might say it like this, an increasing practical godliness. Becoming more Christ-like in one's conduct. Realizing more and more that one is not his own, but is bought with a price, and thus glorifying God in his body and in his spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. These are some of the things involved in the meaning of spiritual growth. These are some of the things that are happening in the lives of Christians who are maturing spiritually. The last thing I want us to look at in this message is what is necessary for spiritual growth. There are certain things that are essential for one to do or to have if he is to grow spiritually. Someone else has said that there are four things necessary for a person to be able to profit from his physical food. And these apply to the spiritual realm as well. Now, I want you to think with me in closing about these four things here. Four things about our physical food which apply to our spiritual food. And this is an explanation of what is necessary for spiritual growth. First of all, one must have a good appetite to profit from his food. There's probably nobody here today that doesn't have a good appetite. But you have to have a good appetite to profit from your food. You ever been sick and food was repulsive to you and you didn't want to eat? I have been there. You have. You get sick, you don't want to eat. And that's the main thing to help you get well, but you just can't stand the thought of eating. Have to have a good appetite in order to profit from physical food. You know, a person can destroy his appetite. Not only can it be ruined by sickness, but he can destroy it himself. A child allowed to eat a lot of candy has little appetite for real food. Sometimes it's not the fault of the food that Christians are starving. It's the condition of those receiving the food. A Christian who fills up on news and novels, as somebody else has said, no longer has a strong appetite for the Word of God and spiritual things. Well, I have to check myself all the time. Quit watching the news so much. Cut down on the news. Quit watching the news. Many a Christian has become so involved in serving the Lord that his own soul goes unnourished. You know, it's possible to distract from your spiritual growth by your Christian service. I heard Brother Steve Fulton preach a message down in Alabama about 2 years ago on Marthas in the churches today. And many, many Marthas in the churches today who will miss the spiritual feast of the sermons in order to go out to the fellowship hall and prepare the physical food for the church dinner. Know what I'm saying? Now, the Lord condemned Martha for that. He said, you're cumbered about much serving. You ought to be sitting at my feet. Second, in order to profit from food, one must have nutritious food. A lot of sweets and chips and Cokes and other junk food, as we call it, is not the nutritious food that a child needs to grow physically. Such foods do not contain the vitamins and proteins and other nutrients that are needed to produce healthy growth in the child. The Word of God is the food that we need for spiritual growth. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4:6 that we are to be, quote, nourished up in the words of faith, unquote. What is he saying? But our spiritual nutrition comes from the Word of God. The only way to get strength for our warfare with Satan and for our pilgrim walk through this world and for our service to God is to feed on the heavenly manna. As John Bunyan says in Pilgrim's Progress. The reason so many Christians fail to grow in grace is because they do not eat spiritually nourishing food. Many are feeding their minds with trash while their souls are being starved. When we don't eat spiritually nourishing food, we become spiritually weak and even sickly. Baptist bookstores and other so-called Christian bookstores sell mostly religious junk. Books on religious psychology and prophetic fiction and so-called Christian novels and books on religious fads like The Purpose-Driven Life. That's religious junk food. Thirdly, in order for us to profit from food, that food must be properly digested. You ever wolf down your food and have a stomachache? When we wolf down our food and don't chew it properly, more than likely it'll do us more harm than good. As we saw in a recent message, meditation relates to reading God's Word like chewing relates to eating. Meditation is necessary to digesting and retaining and profiting from the reading and hearing of the Word of God. When we gulp down our food, there's another problem it causes. That food is not mixed with the saliva, which is necessary to proper digestion. You know, it has to have that saliva before it goes down. If it gets down there without it, it causes stomachache and uproar. The saliva must be mixed with the food for proper digestion. When the Word of God is not mixed with faith, we cannot properly digest that Word. Turn with me to Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews 4:2 says that the Word of God must be mixed with faith in order for us to profit from it. Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Regular eating habits are also important here. Why? I'll tell you something enlightening. Once in a while I'll end up at one of these QTs or Casey's about 7 o'clock in the morning. And it's very instructive to watch people. They're coming in there on the way to work. And they grab a donut and a cup of coffee. And while they're paying, they're eating it. And they jump in the car. And while they're driving, they're eating it and drinking it, you know. And regular eating habits are very important. If we try, think about this. Now, this is silly, but I think you'll see the application. If we try to eat enough on Sunday physical food to carry our bodies all week long, we won't make it through the week, will we? Got to have regular eating habits. This is just as silly when it's applied to eating our spiritual food. We can't survive spiritually and grow spiritually with just a load of food on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon. We must find time to every day feed on the things of God. Fourthly, in order to profit from our food must have the blessing of God upon it. A Christian should always ask the blessing of God on his food, no matter where he is when he eats. We try to always have thanks when we eat at a restaurant. And sometimes you go into one of these crowded places, and I mean, you're sitting almost rubbing shoulders with the people in the next booth or at the next table. That should not stop us from asking the Lord to bless our food. It's a witness and a testimony. But that's not the important thing that we're emphasizing here. We need to ask the blessing of God on our food, first of all, because the Lord Jesus did this, and we need to do everything He did. If we are in the habit of asking God's blessings on the physical food we eat, it is just as important that we ask Him to bless our physical food. You know, if you come to church and sit down and say, okay, challenge me, that's probably not going to have the blessing of God on it. But if you pray as you come in or before you come, Lord, speak to me today, instruct me today, bless the hearing of the Word of God to my good and your glory today, that's what will do you the most good spiritually. No matter how proper we may be in the first three of these things that we've just mentioned, without God's blessing on the Word will profit us nothing. These then are some things involved in the spiritual maturation of a Christian. This maturation is a process that takes place only in Christians. A person cannot possibly make progress in the Christian life if he's not a Christian. Only one who has been made a new creature by the Holy Spirit gladly seeks to grow spiritually. And so I ask you in closing this afternoon, have you been born again? Do you have a spiritual nature that is growing and maturing as we have seen in God's Word today? Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the spiritual growth that You give to us, that You provide for us, and that You enable in us. We pray today that You'd give us a greater concern to grow spiritually, to mature in the faith, in the Christian life, based upon our spiritual knowledge of Christ in His Word. We pray that You would use this message to accomplish Your purposes, whatever they are,
in every life here today. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.